Hello, everybody. I'm John Locke, and I'd like to welcome you to the LockeInYourSuccess.com Trading Performance Podcast, where it's all about real traders, real problems, and real coaching. Listen up and enjoy the segment.
For those serious about becoming successful, consistently profitable options traders, now is the time to build skills in technical analysis, market analysis, and applied volatility to get those results. We have multiple memberships, starting with our Go membership that teaches rules-based trading, and our Pro membership that teaches more subjective trading. For more information, go to lockinyoursuccess.com/memberships.
I did the same thing with, this is virtually the same thing in the Russell as I did in the SPX. I got my down move. Now I'm not really sure where the market's going, so I'm just kind of going neutral here into an M3.4U. And I'm just going to go to next adjustment here. I had a couple of different trades actually going on in the rut. I put it on later. So basically what happened with this trade is nothing. Okay. If you look at the price chart, or if you look at the standard M3.4Us that we've been trading on Options Trading for Income, they were getting hit to the upside, hit to the downside, hit to the upside, hit to the downside, and they're drawn down and they're not doing well. If you're in like a choppy market like that, you're best off to do nothing. And I know you have, well, what if it takes off? Well, yeah, I mean, that happens, but we have a pretty substantial resistance level up here in the Russell. We have overextensions going on in the SPX, even though it continues to go higher, it's going higher. And, you know, I'm willing to take the risk here. So I'm going to go back to 12th. Actually, let me go to, I'm going to go to the 17th because that's the furthest down day of January. I don't even know if I was in it yet, but let me see. Right, this is my furthest down day. It's outside of M. Yeah, it's almost twice M3.4U normal guidelines, but I just decided to leave the trade alone. I'm not in this horrendous position. If Russell goes down 50 or even 100 points, I mean, you're like $4,000 or $6,000, which would be really, really bad. But it's not it's not terrible in the context of how much money we typically make or how much is available to make. And if we're in a general bullish market context, then you know, I might want to hold this. Yeah. And then go ahead.
I was going to say, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, price chart. Oh, I don't know what date it was.
Well, let me make a quick comment. I didn't want to step on you there, but this is something from a growth standpoint that took me a while to reframe. So we talk about reframing phrases, right? And this was a reframing in the way I looked at this position. When I would get the back of the tent early on in my trading this style, I would be very nervous. And my blind spots were the P&L, and I know we don't focus on P&L, but the trade's not in trouble. Didn't matter. That was a blind spot. Just all I could see was the dot in the back of the tent, and you just almost have an emotional reaction like, oh man, I'm nervous. Oh, this is going to go bad. And all you can envision is this thing getting stopped out. Now, from a reframe perspective, this is my favorite, one of my favorite spots to be. Plenty of time, back of the tent, likely bounce point. This is where this trade makes money.
I
just think of it that way.
I would argue that you would enter this trade, Stephen.
Yeah, exactly. That's another way. Yeah, good way to put it. Like, this is the Hammett trade, or the bullish version of that trade. If you think this is kind of support and you're going to bounce, that is a good point. Yeah. So, but just from a reframing, you know, I mean, that was huge for me. So now when I put these trades on, if I didn't necessarily put them on, you know, right at the bounce, you know, if I say it was already in the trade and the market pulls back in the back of the tent, I'm loving it.
Right.
Whereas most people would be sort of nervous.
Exactly.
To your point, you're saying, yeah, I mean, the delta's kind of close to 2x. It's early in the trade. You got 37 days, though. It's the P&L's not wrecked. It's going to have to go down a lot more to put me in near max loss. There's just nothing to do. So, you know, that speaks to kind of the psychology of, you know, what's the what is picture for the trade? Positionally, fine. Delta, fine. Let it breathe, let it wiggle around. And if you do get the bounce, that's where this thing's going to make a lot of money, because you're not only bouncing in the tent, but you're probably going to get some volatility relief, some skew pop.
Right. And if you're still bullish, right, and you're afraid of the down risk here in case the market drops 100 points, the next day you do this.
Great point.
Right.
Great point.
The delta isn't my problem. Like, I think one of the mistakes we made early on educating people is them saying, hey, I hit a 37 delta. It's too risky.
And, fixation on delta. Yep.
Right. And the reality is these are both the same delta, just approximately. But the risk to the downside is very, very different.
Right. Yep. It's a great point.
Right. This is, you know, and, you know, if I was concerned about down risk, I could do something like that. And, you know, now, you know, I don't know in order for me to hit, even if the Russell went down 100 points the next day, I'm down like, you know, $3,000, which is within probably the original max loss limit of your trade. So now you give yourself time for the trade to work out. And, you know, when it bounces or whatever, and you get into a safe zone, you can trade back. But, you know, just some different types of options. But, you know, I did nothing here. I just left it. And I'm going to go to next trade again, just so we can get out to the date that I want to get in. I'll show you the worst this got to the upside. So if I go here and I look at my price chart and I look at this day here, which is 20, which is what day? It's the 12th. Let me go. Oh, that's just the day before, right? That's pretty fast. So I'm here. I'm not even drawing down money. And if I'm thinking the probabilities are the market's coming back down, I can kind of hold off on this. I mean, this went higher than I would have liked it. Like the day before, this I was kind of okay here. And this wasn't really a big deal. But then we got that breakout the following day. And I mean, this is concerning from a technical standpoint, but if I'm still bearish, I'm still bearish. Again, I can try and widen things out and take my upside risk a little bit, but even if the market goes up 100 points the next day, if I'm in my typical $5,000 planned capital trade, I can only lose 4,000, and if I'm bearish, why don't I hold it? I should be holding it. And again, this goes to the thought of having an objective and saying, you know, I'm willing to lose if the market goes up and breaks to new highs.
Note your delta, -69. You don't care. It's not a concern. It's not a delta decision.
Hmm.
Which I think is really, really clever, right? You're just saying, let me balance off risk. I'm okay with the 4,000. 11 days left. Yeah, if it rips higher, you could probably roll down some upper longs and do a little bit and get that less than a $4,000 loss, whatever. But I just like the way you're not overly focused on delta and chasing the delta. Yeah,
right.
Do something like that.
It takes out some of my risk here. It doesn't have a whole lot more downside risk.
I mean, I really love. Could kind of call that the reverse two-step, right? Going the
Texas
upside
two-step,
right? The Texas two-step was a roll back of the shorts and the upper longs, and then this technique is sort of the opposite. It was a very, very effective tactic.
Yeah, and I can even go to here, and I can wait this out and maybe lose 2,000, and I'm also limiting my profit, right? So again, but if it makes me nervous and I don't want to lose 4,000, but I'm okay with 2,000, then I take away some opportunity, but I'm still okay.
Or you could just do half, five contracts.
Contracts.
Split the difference. I
could take half the trade-off, something, right, yeah.
Half the trade-off, yeah. You know, on some of this stuff, I don't know what your thoughts on this would be, John. We find ourselves doing something like that. Like, let's say we did that maneuver half, to satiate a mental issue.
Right.
Is that something in our development that you would recommend? You know, maybe there's two there's probably more than two courses of action, but I'm just curious your recommendation. Would you say in the beginning, do it to satiate yourself mentally and then see how it worked out and then realize that if you've done nothing, you've been better off? Or do you develop that discipline and don't do those things that you're only doing to help your mental state? In other words, you want to do things based on what's happening in the market. You don't want to do things based on mental and emotion. But as we're developing,
right, and you even experienced, okay, you have that too, right? But yeah, I think it's okay to cut this back a little bit. I mean, you've been in the trade for how long? I mean, this trade started, it tells us we've been in the trade for 39 days and I'm at break even, right? So I'm probably mentally weary at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right.
But you know, you have the employee mindset, which is basically I worked, therefore I deserve money.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, and then you have the entrepreneur mindset, which means I work and work and work for nothing for the longest time, and then all of a sudden I get a bunch of money.
That's a really great way to put it.
Right. So if you're in the employee mindset here, and you're like, you know, I'm not going to work for nothing.
You're going to overadjust it.
Right. I'm going to overadjust this because I have to win this. Where, you know, if this market, put it this way, if this market went up from here and it just kind of shot up into this range, if I had a good opportunity to be bearish here, I have a much better opportunity to be bearish here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In which case, if I re-entered the trade, I'd probably re-enter the same thing higher.
Right.
Or a super bear or something like that. I'm not going to re-enter flat delta at that point. And again, that's another hard thing. I just lost to the upside. The market's going up forever, and I have to be neutral delta. So now I exit this trade when the market's up here, and I get into a neutral delta trade. And now I have a high probability of having a fight on my hands. I might win, but I have a fight on my hands to the downside in my neutral delta trade, because that's probably where the market's going. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, Lee had a comment. Lee Powell, he says, great and timely conversation. That hits home for me. I've recognized wide chop recently in the M34U trade, and that if I overadjust, it would likely lead to a losing trade.
Right, exactly. And a lot of times we overadjust because we don't want to lose. We don't want to have that losing scenario come into play. But the acceptance of that is a huge stage in your development as a trader.
Huge.
It could be the...
Go ahead. I was going to say, it could be the seminal moment. I mean, you are on the other side when you have true and utter, you know, acceptance and letting go. They kind of go hand in hand, right? Letting go of whatever it is that's holding you back. And then from a risk standpoint, total acceptance. I'm accepting the risk. And boy, you talk about open the floodgates for your trading.
Yeah, because you can't make money if you're always trying not to lose. The thing is, you're going to lose anyway.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do everything, quote unquote, right and still lose.
Exactly. I mean, you can try and cover this as much as you can. Go ahead. Try, do an experiment. Go into Backtester and just make a trade that you're zero delta all the time and trade that for 2 years and see how that goes. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, that's how this is running out. And then of course the market came down, and now, let's see, ignore today's trades. And now that the market came down, now I'm up a significant amount of money. Now I'm going to, adjust this. And I was bullish at this point. We got an 88-point down move in an uptrending market. And I think SPX, if you look at the SPX, came into a support level. And I think I talked about, I think I actually talked about this on one of the groups, but I know I've told some people this. I entered bullish trades here. This was just a, like if you did an uptrend line, this is a pullback right onto the uptrend line. On the SPX, it was a pullback to the uptrend line and to the horizontal support level. You're probably going to get a bounce off of this short term. So I switched. I pulled this in like a V32, basically, at maximum adjustment. I just came in and I pulled this in. So now if the market continues down, yeah, I lose about 7,000. Maybe this wasn't the best risk reward decision. You know what would have been better here? Probably just to exit this out and to go into like a Super Bowl. But I actually did go into a Super Bowl. So it happened on this day, I think. But that is how I repositioned this. I just flipped my risk to the other side with the down move. And this just played out. Ended up playing out with the up move. And what's today? Today's 21st. So I don't think there was anything else that happened here. Yeah, I went into a Super Bowl. So we'll look at that. And I don't believe there's no any adjustments on this really at all. This trade here, there are no next adjustments. So if we go live with this, of course the market's been down now, so now it's pushing my downside. But this is basically where we stand, and I just more or less plan on expiring this out unless I break some sort of a technical level.
And that is what I have for you today. If you have any questions or comments or anything else you'd like to see in the next Trading Performance podcast, please list that in the comments and I'll personally answer your questions and comments for you. Also, I'd love to encourage you to come on over to lockingyoursuccess.com. That's L-O-C-K-E and yoursuccess.com. And check out our Trading Performance and Pro memberships, where you can find the tools you need to become a much more effective trader, regardless of the type of trading you do. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to seeing you on the next Trading Performance podcast.